That potluck smells so good. I'm already hungry. Nothing makes you hungrier than church. Okay, we have left the land of Oz. We finished our four-part series last week. We watched Dorothy discover her own power. She had the power all along. And of course, the power was not really in the ruby slippers. They were a symbol, like a chalice or a cross. The real power was in Dorothy. The same power is in you. Don't quote me on this, but the story of Jesus is exactly the same as Dorothy and Oz. Well, I mean, think about it. In the Jesus story, he walks through a strange land. He meets all kinds of characters. He makes some fast friends. He makes some terrifying enemies. And we see him discover and use his power. And the point of the Jesus story, the same power is in you. I mentioned to one of you, who will be nameless, that I would be talking about Jesus for the next few weeks after the series on the Wizard of Oz, and he said, "Did we do something bad? Are we being punished?" So let's talk about that for a few minutes. Let's talk about talking about Jesus and why we do it. This does not apply to everyone, but very often, people who show up at Unity are refugees from rigid religion of some kind. We now have a name for it, post-traumatic church syndrome. And to me, as the minister, those people are like rescue dogs. Now, stay with me on this. When you rescue a dog and bring it home, you are not sure where it's been or what abuse it might have suffered. You just know it's skittish about certain things. I knew one dog, Shadow, who was afraid of feet. She would lie on the bed or the sofa with you, but if you even twitched a foot, she would jump down in fear. She had probably been kicked. Some of you react that way when I mention Jesus or the Bible. It's a cringe. One of the compliments that I hear occasionally is something like, "My friends came to church and they don't want anything to do with Jesus or the Bible, but they liked you." I think that's a compliment. But what I think it means is they didn't hear what they expected to hear. They didn't hear what they were afraid they'd hear. They didn't hear what they used to hear at church or what they'd been told they would hear at church if they ever went. And that's the whole point of coming to Unity. Yes, we are a Christian church. Unity was founded as an educational nonprofit called Unity School of Christianity. That is still its legal name. We are Christian. We study and follow the teachings of Jesus, and the Bible is our primary text. And we interpret the Bible and Jesus in new ways, and we honor other paths as well. Unity falls under the umbrella of New Thought, a spiritual movement that developed in the United States in the 1800s. It grew out of Transcendentalism, Emerson and Thoreau. Call it New Thought / Ancient Wisdom, because nothing we teach is new. Our basic principles are universal spiritual laws. They've been around since creation. They apply to everyone. They have been discovered and rediscovered for thousands of years. They weren't even new when Jesus taught them. And yet I know so many people, spiritual but not religious, who can only hear spiritual teachings from certain sources. If the Buddha said it, it's profound, it's brilliant. If Jesus said it, don't want to hear it. Thing is, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus said a lot of the same things. Did you know they each said a version of "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? They were talking about divine consciousness, of course, not themselves as men to be worshipped. The idea that we are spiritual beings having a human experience runs through all the faith traditions. I do think it's sad that one of the world's primary teachers of love, forgiveness, and inclusivity, Jesus, has been used to prop up a religion that sometimes takes the form of judgment, condemnation, and abuse, even violence. But that really is a minority of Christians, and they're really just loud and mean. And I believe they have done incalculable damage to what ought to be a beautiful, peaceful, loving, joyful practice. So I say, don't let them have it. Claim the message of Jesus for yourself and for what it means to you. Believe me, I understand feeling ambivalent about Jesus. I did for many years, even after I became a minister. And even now, Jesus is not my buddy or my boyfriend. Well, you've heard those creepy praise songs. For me, what appeals to me is that Jesus was a teacher and he was teaching the same things I try to teach, except he taught them really well. I mean, a lot of you are teachers. Can you imagine teaching difficult and challenging ideas in ways that are so memorable and speak to people so deeply that your words will be studied for 2,000 years? We talk so much here about openness and possibility and being unlimited. Why would we rule out messages or wisdom that we might receive through Jesus or the Bible? We limit ourselves if we close our minds to any channel of communication. You know, we've been having this angel class based on a little book called Hiring the Heavens, and we've talked about what angels are. And it turns out I think most of us in class believe that they are real entities. It's not a unity thing, it's just we believe it. But angels are also a way to think about higher levels of consciousness or vibration, where help is available to us and co-creation is easy. It's been a fun class with some remarkable results. And we'd have missed that if we sat home saying, "Huh, I don't believe in angels," which I would have done a few years ago. But that's closing off one more possible channel of divine connection. So I would invite you not to turn off the Jesus channel. Leave it on and listen with new ears. Even if you've never had a problem with Jesus, if you grew up in church, his words may be so familiar, it's hard not to hear them in the old ways. Over the next few weeks, I want to look at parts of the Sermon on the Mount, some of Jesus' greatest hits. The Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer. So try to set aside what you think it means or were taught that it means and hear it with new ears. Find out how it relates to you today. Even rescue dogs slowly learn that some humans can be trusted. And if you've been here very long, you know you can trust me not to club you over the head with Jesus or tell you you're living your life wrong and certainly not tell you you're going to hell. In fact, what I love about my job is that I get to talk about possibilities, your divine potential, and never more so than when we talk about Jesus. He was showing us what's possible for us. So we'll wade into the Sermon on the Mount next week. Today is an overview of Christ, what it means. So try to hear this in a new way. This may be a new definition for you. Just as we have talked about the three faces of God, there are three faces of Christ. And, this is important, only one of those faces is Jesus of Nazareth. In unity, we distinguish between Jesus and the Christ. Christ is from the Greek word Christos. It means the anointed one. Messiah means the same in Hebrew. So Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, same thing. It's a title bestowed on him because he was so clearly special. And connected to God, he seemed anointed. For us, the Christ is an energy. It's a consciousness. It's a level of being we strive for. And we know it's possible because Jesus was human and he achieved it. He showed us and told us what we could do. He said, "Don't you know you are God's?" This is the infinite face of Christ. It is divine energy, logos, and in you it becomes your divine essence. You have the Christ within, because the Christ is a presence that permeates all things, that creates and supports the universe. Last fall and again this spring, I talked about the book of John and how dramatically its message changes when we realize that in John, Jesus is speaking as the Christ. He is speaking from his oneness with the presence. I am the way, the truth, and the life means aligning with that divine energy is the way to God. It is the truth of our experience. It is our life force. He was speaking from his oneness when he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection." Jesus was not demanding that we worship him as a man or even as a God. He was describing the I am, the God that is each of us and everything. I am that I am, the name of God. He was inviting us into the same knowledge of the divine he had, into that ocean of unconditional love that is the universe. In John, this energy is called Logos, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Apostle Paul wrote about this creative Christ energy too, and hear this with new ears. I'm pulling various passages about the Christ. Hear this not about the man Jesus, but about the divine essence that has always been and always will be. Paul said, "Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In Christ, all things in heaven and on earth were created, visible and invisible. All things have been created through Christ and for Christ, not Jesus, but divine creative energy. Christ is before all things. In Christ, all things hold together. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile all things." He's talking about something far greater than a man. He's describing a force field, a presence, and this is where we run out of words. Sometimes this face is called the cosmic Christ. It is the infinite, transcendent presence, the way, the truth, and the life. Those words were never intended to limit anyone's access to God. We live in the infinity of the divine. The cosmic Christ is the universal presence of God everywhere. And everywhere includes you, in you. Christ in you, your hope of glory, Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. This is the inner face of Christ. It is you made in God's image. So first the infinite cosmic face and now the inner face. Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me," which sounds a lot like Jesus. "It is not I, but the Father in me that does the work." They're both talking about the divine within. Paul might have been more mystical than we give him credit for. And Paul is important because his letters included in the New Testament became the basis of Christianity, maybe even more so than Jesus' teachings. Paul's conversion experience seems to have revealed to him the oneness and unity of the universe. He writes like one of those people who have experienced profound love and oneness and are never the same after and struggle to put it into words. But that's what he's calling Christ. It's an energy, an awareness, a higher level. Jesus was leading us to our Christ consciousness, showing us what's possible for us when we are fully aligned with the divine, with God. Paul Smith, the Kansas City minister, who has written extensively about the three faces of God and the three faces of Christ, says, "The goal is not to be a Christian, but to be a Christ." You are the Christ. In unity, you'll hear us talk about living as the Christ. That means living in divine consciousness, from the level of Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, a Bodhisattva, seeing the wholeness in all things, and not blissfully ignoring problems. Jesus did everything he could to help. But knowing the perfection in all things, even when they appear unfair or painful. Our spiritual journey is entirely about awakening to the truth of who we are and living in that awareness. We can do it. We already have our moments. And now we are evolving consciously as the Christ. Now, if you've noticed, it's hard to talk about the Christ without talking about Jesus, the man. He so clearly embodied the divine as a human. He was so different, they thought he must be a god, even though he kept saying, "You can do anything I'm doing." So, what is our relationship to Jesus, the man? There's the outer infinite face of God, there's the inner face, the divine in you, and the third is the intimate face, Jesus, the man who lived in history. The cosmic Christ was manifested in Jesus, the man. And I believe we need Jesus to understand these larger ideas of infinite and inner presence, transcendent and immanent. And he explained it all over and over in as many different words as he could find, and we're still trying to get it. Infinite, inner, intimate. That intimate Jesus is where a lot of us have baggage. Jesus, your Lord and King, Jesus on the cross, died for your sins, personal Lord and Savior, accept him into your heart. I so appreciated coming to Unity where there are no demands made on behalf of Jesus. I can explore and believe and interpret for myself. Do we worship Jesus? You might want to. What we focus on expands, remember? What we admire and are grateful for, we become like. If you spot it, you got it. So when you spot the power and love of God expressing as Jesus, it's a clue you've got it too. For so many years, I thought, why bother? Jesus was perfect and I'm not, so why try? Here's the thing. Jesus was not unique. Certainly, he allowed the divine presence to flow through him and use him on the earth better than most. But he's not the only great teacher who's done that. He's not the only person who revealed God in extraordinary ways. And he was not an exception to all other humans. He was one of us, showing us what's possible, calling us higher, loving us into our greatness. Isn't this amazing? We are completely immersed in the Christ. One face is the cosmos, one face is Jesus, and one face is yours. The infinite Christ is all around us, the inner Christ is within us, and the divine energy we call the Christ is revealed through Jesus in intimate relationship, a relationship that can be designed and carried out any way you choose. Love him, leave him, neglect him, wrestle with him, or look for the same divine spirit elsewhere, in Buddha or Gandhi or Mother Teresa. You cannot escape the presence of the Christ. It's who you are. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's begin as we always do by taking a deep cleansing breath and releasing it fully. Breathing into that place where you center yourself. And just continue breathing. Allowing your hands to relax. Release your jaw if you've been clenching. Continue breathing and letting go of any other tension in your body. And as you breathe, imagine each breath contains a spark that, as you breathe in, grows. And as you breathe out, just filters out through your body. That divine spark that has your name on it. Just allow it to expand. Allow that idea of your divinity to just fill up your body, fill up your being. And with every out breath, you can let go of old ideas. Old learned and trained behaviors about your worthiness. Let go of those old ideas and beliefs. You may fill the space with the Christ consciousness that lives in you. That what we give our mind and our attention to grows. So let the idea of your divinity grow. Just keep breathing and letting it grow. When you are open, who you are, and who you are here to be becomes very clear. So let that come into a very clear picture in your mind now. So breathe that in. Take another deep breath and bring your consciousness back to this place, holding on to that idea of your Christ consciousness showing up here so beautifully. Take another deep breath and let it out. And with gratitude, join me in the Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.